WABF, good morning. It is 8:23 and 39 degrees in downtown Fairhope. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio, as is customary, the second and fourth Tuesday following city council meetings. And good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Good to see you today. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year. A little chilly this morning.
I know. We need some of that wintertime weather, don't we?
It's nice.
So it was wonderful to have Jay Robinson, councilman, in here yesterday. It's been a while since he's been on. So
yes, it's nice. We know we're talking off air. It's nice to have those council members rotating and you get to visit with them because, you know, they all offer a different perspective and all want to share different information because they serve different committees and stuff. So it's great to have them rotating.
Right. Yes, it is. And always a pleasure to have you here as well. I didn't get to watch the meeting last night, but were you out in time for the championship game?
We were.
Even though the results may have been disappointing to a lot of us.
We were. Everybody was really anxious to get out. We had actually Jason Langley, who is our water and sewer superintendent. His daughter is on the color guard for the University of Alabama. So she has been able to travel with them. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday. He's real excited to be able to see her again on TV and, you know, say everything. So, yes, everybody was anxious to get out. And so we were able to get out in time to see the start of the game.
That's good because there was an executive session, which I don't guess you can say what that was about, as it's held in private for a reason.
Correct.
Okay. There was quite a few things on the work session at 4:30. Preceding the council meeting, if you want to mention anything about those, quite a few discussions.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, a couple things that we talked about, obviously two of them are drainage related, and that would be the grant for the Fairfield subdivision. The council did not take any action on that. This was just an opportunity for us to let them know that we really need to spend about $25,000 on a study, because right now the way the flood maps are, that area is in a possibility in it is in a flood zone, and that has changed since that subdivision was built. So there's some mitigation that might be able to happen if we do this flood study. And so we talked about that. They didn't take any action on it as of yet. I think they want to think about that. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion on whether, you know, should that be the city's responsibility since it's not city property?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Can the developer take any of the cost, even though, like you said, the landscape has changed? It's not in a floodplain. It wasn't, but now it is. Is that because of other construction around it?
Well, I don't know if there's other construction around it. I just think that, you know, when those maps change, things happen, and obviously that's the case now. But the other thing is that I just think they want to think about it. Again, it's not city property, but we do have some roadways through there that could be an issue. But one of the concerns was that, you know, if we touch that, we end up owning it, and that what can it impact further up the watershed or further up the road when it deals with drainage. So we just want to be very careful about what we're doing. But obviously that area does need some assistance. And so they're going to think about it. We're going to talk about it internally and try to make some decisions about moving forward.
Okay.
And then, obviously, the other area was the 50 Fairhope Avenue, and that's the area behind, it used to be Maison JC. I don't think it's called that now. It's, if you're going down the Bay Hill, it's that property there to the left that sits on the
Fairhope Avenue?
Mm-hmm, Fairhope Avenue. It sits on Stacks Gullies just behind it, or Cliff Drives just behind it. And that property is owned by the city, the gully is. And we did an NRCS project similar to the one that we're going to be doing on Summit, where we went in and stabilized the gully, but there still has been some erosion. They only did part of that project. They didn't finish it out because the monies were not available at the time. So this private property owner has agreed to split that cost with the city 50-50, which is very nice, and something we're not used to happening, is for the property owner to come to us and say, hey, we know there needs to be a fix. This is city property, but I'd be happy to split that cost with you because it impacts our personal property.
That's very nice.
Very nice. So we are going to move forward on that project. And then the other one was the discussion of the hazard mitigation grant opportunities. That was to do a warning system for downtown. People have been hearing about these hazard mitigation grants that become available because of COVID, because of hurricanes. That's how we're funding the safe room. So that's also, we've submitted a grant to put some generators on lift stations with those hazard mitigation monies. This is about a $44,000 total project. The city would be responsible for about $10,000 of it, but it would allow us to expand and upgrade the warning system downtown for weather-related incidents. If we had a missing persons, we could also expand it to go down to the pier. We could expand it to recreation facilities the way this is built. So what we did was we looked at other areas who had received the hazard mitigation grant, who had been awarded that money for these systems, and looked to see what kind of systems they had and looked to get a cost. So everybody knows that we have Big Bertha. We test it the first Tuesday of every month.
Right.
But we do have some issues with that, like the test failed this past Tuesday. You know, we had that incident at Arts and Crafts several years ago where there was some bad weather coming in,
mm-hmm.
and you really need to be able to alert people downtown. Downtown tends to be crowded with visitors. You know, most people, if you have your cell phone, you're going to get your emergency notification either through the city's app or the National Weather Service or whatever mm-hmm. it might be. But if you're visiting our area and you don't have your location services set, it's really important to be able to warn those folks. So that's the other grant opportunity that we're looking at as well.
Okay. All right. I wasn't aware that's what HMGP grant mm-hmm. stood for.
Hazard mitigation.
So, and that grant is going to be applied to the first responder safe room. Tell us a bit about that. I failed to ask Jay yesterday where it was located. You texted mm-hmm. me that it was in the Pecan mm-hmm. building
property.
Campus.
Well, right. So, poor Jay, I was listening yesterday when he was interviewing, and I had tried to update him on some of the stuff that was on the agenda, but I was texting him, and he just wasn't looking at his text. But the safe room we are going to build, excuse me, down where the Pecan building is on that campus.
Public Works area.
Public Works area, but it's before you get to Public Works, Pecan, you would mm-hmm. take a left there.
What used to be that big Pets building that Correct. The city acquired years ago. Okay.
Correct. But it would be on that campus, not in that building, because that building is going to be the employee health clinic, and then the other half is going to be the planning department, mm-hmm. and there's some storage.
So a construction of a new building.
Mm-hmm. Right, construction of a new building. It will house 75 first responder type employees, utilities, public works, those folks. Currently, we do not have a facility other than really the police station, which is, you know, also very crowded, that will house employees that are rated for hurricanes.
So you mean on call to
on
be
call.
Sitting and waiting. So
Correct.
It's going to be like there's going to be kitchen and beds.
There'll be kitchens, generators,
okay.
beds. We could even house mutual aid. Like if we were going to bring in utility crews and we couldn't get a hotel, we could house them there while we're waiting for our hotel rooms to open up, or if hotel rooms, mm-hmm. all the power's down. So And also, when we're not using it for hurricanes, the way these grants are written, because you build them as a safe room, you cannot put permanent furniture in them. But what you can do is you could put folding tables and folding chairs and be able to use it as a training facility. So right now we don't have a room large enough to hold all of, you know, hold the employees other than the Civic Center. So if one of the utilities wants to do a training, if we're doing CPR training, something like that, we can use that as a temporary training facility as well.
Okay. You're making me feel a bit better about the price tag. You know how I get when y'all toss around hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm like, wait a minute.
But I will tell you that we're not the only municipality, obviously, in the county who's doing this. There's uh-huh. several of them. Spanish Fort has one. Loxley's applied for one. I believe Daphne has a safe room. So, you know, it's something that's really needed to, mm-hmm. for the safety of our employees. But, again, it's something that we can add to, you know, our inventory, our assets. And we're getting it for, you know, 25 cents on the dollar, which is huge.
Yeah, the price tag is basically $2 million,
mm-hmm.
but of that, the city is going to spend $330,000. That's still a lot of money.
It is a lot.
And it wasn't budgeted, or was it?
It is budgeted.
Oh, good. Okay.
$324,000 is budgeted for that. But I will tell you that the reason you're seeing that $300,000 figure, it really is $400,000, but we get credit because we're providing the land. So
okay.
we had to have the land appraised, which came in at like $125,000 for the acre. So that was already subtracted from the amount that's our portion.
And how big? How many square feet are we talking?
It is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's right at 6,000 square feet.
See, so just the verbiage safe room mm-hmm. is misleading.
It's not just a room.
This is a safe house. This
yes.
is a hurricane shelter building for
it has a kitchen,
first responders.
It has generators, and it's everything. It's a turnkey project, so it comes
okay.
with everything. The only thing it will not have in it that we're going to have to furnish would be the folding tables and chairs.
Okay. So that passed? Or did it have to lay over for?
No, it passed.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, I'm really glad you could explain it in detail. So it sounds like it's worth the expenditure and you already had it budgeted.
Absolutely.
Okay. The other, I'm skipping, if you don't mind, for a minute to the previous meeting, December 22nd. I want to go back to the bank stabilization
On Summit.
That passed on North Summit, because when we were talking about the 50 Fairhope Avenue in the gully and whatnot, you said that the residents were able to help you pay. And once again, my eye is caught by a huge number. The North Summit Street Bank stabilization not to exceed $760,000, with the city being reimbursed $508,000. You're still spending $250,000 to stabilize gullies, right?
It is,
where homes have been built. And is that a joint project? I believe Jay mentioned you might look for the single tax colony to help pay for this. Give us an update on that.
We are going to be meeting with single tax. We've had some casual conversation with them about the possibility of them partnering with the city on that. We have also talked to the residents in that area about the possibility that they may have to contribute. We probably need to firm some of that up, because we have not as of yet. There are about, I want to say, 3 to 4 houses along there that are impacted by the gully that were not impacted before, that had been there for a number of years. There are several houses that have been built, which you and I both know that. And, you know, a lot of people feel like, well, shame on them for building on a gully.
Ditto.
And shame on them for building a balcony over a treatment plant. I
and
get
why
that.
Why should we pay
and
for
why
that
should
with
we
our
do that?
Tax dollars? As our, seems our power bills, you know, are up. So
right. So it is, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, again, the gentleman at 50 Fairhope Avenue mm-hmm. was very kind to come in and say, hey, let me split this with you. So I do think there will be some partnership there with the residents and also with single tax to help foot that bill.
I'm just wondering, the resolution passed last December 22nd, correct?
It did.
So you voted to spend the money, but now you're
going
to see if you,
we are.
Maybe next time,
and we still
ahead of time, assess the residents, talk to the single tax colony before this money is committed.
And we have talked to them. We have talked to them. We just have not firmed up the amounts, so which is what we have to do. Because there are time deadlines with all of this mm-hmm. that you have to move forward on. The other thing is
because it's a grant.
It is a grant. And the other thing is because we actually had 3 NRCS grants, but because costs are coming in so high, we actually are only doing 2 projects this year with the money, because mm-hmm. we couldn't afford to do the third. That's the other thing, is we really had to see where we were going to fall out financially, because the cost of these projects are increasing 30% to 40% based
right.
on supplies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you also have time deadlines that are attached to all of these grants.
Because it's a grant. So this was also budgeted.
It is, yes.
Okay. So the $250,000 that the city will have to cost and possibly negotiate with some residents and single tax.
Correct.
Was budgeted.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better
yes.
on that
yes.
aspect as well. Let's see here. Resolution number 8. This was about some pipes and changing the bid slightly on the North Church Street infrastructure project, which is going on in front of us. Is there anything you want to tell us about this project?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. One thing that you'll see on here, the change order, it's really not... It is a change order. It was some housekeeping that we needed to do with the council, but there's a huge contingency built in on this project. So we probably, you know, that $71,000 is probably already, it's already in the money anyway, but because it is a change order, we felt like we needed to bring it before the council, but it's really not going to cost us any more money because the contingencies are already built in. I will tell you that our specs have changed as far as the ductile pipe, the ductile iron with the water wastewater department. What we find is that when we're using that C900, the PVC pipe, a lot of these water main breaks that we're having is because that PVC pipe is not withholding the soil that we currently have. After so many years, it breaks just from the vibration of the earth or the soil there. So we are using ductile iron, especially when you're going underneath a road, because that way you don't have to dig up the road. Ductile iron will last. You know, we'll never have to touch this again in our lifetime
mm-hmm.
or in our career. So we really feel like this is important. It's something that we need to do, so we're not back digging up Church Street after we get it all, you know, all together.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
So that's what that change order mm-hmm. is. And again, it's really probably not going to cost the city any more money. I know it's not, because there's already contingencies built in anyway to
but
that project.
It makes sense to put in the longer lasting
absolutely.
Pipe. Which one, which color is it, or do you know? It's so fascinating to
it
watch
is.
This project, which is right in our front door, Literally. I've been telling folks, hey, walk down, stay on the sidewalk. Of course, don't walk through the construction area, but they're going down 20, 25 feet at least in the ground. And they're doing the sewer, the water, the wastewater, the gas and there's
stormwater.
Different pipe, different color and size pipe for each thing, and it's just, and then those big boxes.
The storm drains.
The concrete box. It's just fascinating.
One thing I do want to mention, I mentioned in my comments last night, you know, we had a couple water main breaks this weekend. One was from contractors, two of them actually, Friday afternoon were from contractors. We had a planned outage at 32 and 13 to tie in that water line for the county for that roundabout there. We took a lot of criticism. We always take a lot of criticism when we have those outages.
And I read some of that. It's specifically, the planned outage that you warned about for over a week was a no win.
And it went door to door.
Did you?
Notifying folks.
Oh, good. I was hoping y'all
did
that.
With door tags. We are looking at the possibility of maybe putting some signage in the front of neighborhoods that they're impacted, but we felt going door to door, we were doing our due diligence.
Right.
But I said last night, you know, we try to be great communicators. We hate to inconvenience anybody. We know it's inconvenient. The reason we did a weekend event was because of the school. There's also some other businesses around there that we felt like we were doing what we needed to do to...
Because you'd have to close a school if they couldn't have water for the day.
Well, and you know, water also equals fire protection.
Yes.
And that's another thing we don't like to mention, because you don't want people to understand that, you know, when water's cut, you don't have fire protection. That's a big deal. And so we have to have the fire department on standby. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into these larger projects. And I just want people to know that these projects are not going to stop. I mean, we have a lot of infrastructure that needs to be upgraded and updated, and these projects are going to go on for the next several years. We try to do our best to be good communicators to make it the least impactful we can to the fewest number of people, but unfortunately, they're going to happen. So I wish people would find their patience and wish people would be a little bit kinder with their comments, knowing that we have done anything and everything we can to make sure that we're doing, you know, providing good services to the citizens and doing the things we need to upgrade this infrastructure.
And the same ones complaining about the sewer spills are complaining about the road closed to prevent the sewer spills with infrastructure updates.
But it's going to go on for the next several years, so people just need to, again, put on their patience hat and understand that we're doing the best that we can.
Very good. We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here this morning. It is now 8:40 and 41 degrees. We're going to pause for just a moment and continue talking about last night's city council meeting and anything else facing our fair city. First, let's check in with Kenny in coastal traffic.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, Mobile Police working a number of issues, including a disabled concrete truck blocking the roadway Downtowner Loop there just off of Downtowner Boulevard. Trying to clear an earlier accident, Airport just west of Azalea, Old Shell and Cody, and Greelot at Chillinger. At Hillcrest and Autumn Ridge, a vehicle hit a power pole, so avoid that area for a while. And there's an abandoned vehicle eastbound I-10 between Duval.
And we are continuing our conversation with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. While we're on the Church Street project, I got a note from Jessica Walker, who's, you know, over that project, that Mardi Gras routes will stay the same. And so tell me, what are we going to do? Are we going to pause the project for Mardi Gras and Arts and Crafts? Tell us about that, because this Church Street infrastructure project is going all the way to Fells, which... The next corner is Fairhope Avenue.
That's right.
The next one is Delamar, and of course, more downtown
Morphy and then
disruption
Fells.
Of businesses.
Right. You know, one thing I want people to know is that probably the tie-in there at Oak and Church and here through Magnolia was the largest portion of that project. We've also put some things in place so the gas contractor is going ahead of the road crew. So we think that's going to speed this process up. We also think that it will limit the amount of, you know, line breaks we get and that kind of stuff to make sure we're being more efficient with the project. It's taken us a little while to get here, but we think we're finally there. Also, the pipes further down are not as large as the ones that were closer to the treatment plant. So we feel like this project's going to move faster, but we are going to basically find a stopping point before Mardi Gras and before Arts and Crafts, that we will button everything up so we have access to this road, and that we will not have to change any routes. We won't have to change anything with Arts and Crafts. The parking deck will stay open. Also on the council agenda, the alleyway project was awarded. That bid was awarded, which really excited about that. That's something that's been worked on since 2017. So glad to have that happening. And again, that will not start till after Arts and Crafts. We know how impactful those events are to downtown and to our merchants here. We don't want to disrupt any of that. So we are working really close with the contractors to make sure we button everything up prior to those events so things can, you know, happen as normal.
Perfect. So tell us about the Arts Alley downtown. It was on last night's agenda, mm-hmm. approving a bid of $1,237. Is that a million? No. Excuse me. $1,237,500.
Those are the numbers you look for, Lori.
That's the big ones. And see, I have a little crease in my paper where I printed it, so I couldn't read it right. That's a big number. But what's not mentioned on here is the city's not paying for all of this. County and what?
The MPO. It's federal money. We're also, again, another project that we're hoping to partner with single tax on because this is federal highway money. Because it's
all of it.
It's a transit hub. Yes, all of it.
Okay, good.
And so there's right across from you, Lori. There will be a restroom facility which will go in, a place where people can wait for Bratz buses and stuff, which will be great.
And for those that don't know, there's a restaurant, Little Whiskey, right across from us, and then behind it is the parking garage, and then a drive-through or an alleyway behind what was Faro Hardware, what was the Courier, the Chamber, going up to the Hampton. And that's a tight squeeze. I'm really having trouble imagining this facility because it's going to include a restroom, like you said, and it's going to include for the Bratz bus, the Baldwin Rural Area Transportation System,
right.
And the golf cart, the downtown trolley,
shuttle,
right?
The shuttle. The shuttle's already in the parking deck, so
right.
That should not be an issue. And again, the Bratz buses will, they're not, they may park one there, but it will basically be just a continuous run of service. So, but that will be an area where people can, you know, catch a Bratz bus if they want to. They can park in the parking deck. They can use the shuttle. So basically the only structure we are going to be adding is the restroom facility or mm-hmm. the transit hub.
I want to see, do you have
a diagram
anywhere?
I do not, but
I
don't think it's in my packet.
Okay.
But I can get you a copy of that.
Just
but
curious.
It is a... It's going to be a great project. The other thing that it's going to do is just kind of clean up that area. We've met with all the stakeholders of the businesses adjacent to it. We're hoping that some of that property that's, you know, their property adjacent to the alley.
The garbage cans and the trash
are.
We're
going to have enclosures for all those.
Okay.
We're going to brick everything, so it's going to change the look of that alley.
And then paint the side. Aren't you going to do some artwork on the actual parking garage?
Artwork on the side of the parking garage.
Okay.
There'll be some landscaping that improve drainage, because that, if you're familiar with that, water just runs down that alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
So improve drainage. There'll be underground drainage. But I think what people are really going to love is that it's going to be more aesthetically pleasing. You're going to see the landscaping. You're going to see some different hardscapes when it comes to like bricking that alleyway and some other things. It's going to allow for a spot where people can really we'll be able to utilize it. Maybe some lighting, also working again with single tax.
Yeah, the white lights across
mm-hmm.
like they do
right.
downtown on Dauphin. That's
right.
Real cool.
Also working with single tax to do some art at the entryway, because Federal Highway would not pay for the arts component
mm-hmm.
of that. So hoping that we get to do that. But it's going to be a great addition to downtown and hopefully encourage people to use that parking deck.
Yes. I think that's part of the major the major drive is
right.
to use the parking facility.
Absolutely.
And then have the Bratz service available. And then the downtown shuttle, the golf cart,
mm-hmm.
when is that going to go into full swing? I know they did a test run.
We did.
So still kind of working on that.
We do. Our biggest issue right now is personnel. And right now we're utilizing a part-time employee. So we just need to get that in place. What we don't want to do is start advertising it and then not be able to continue it. So we're making sure we get our policies in place, get the folks in place. I would say probably in the next couple weeks you're going to see it run continuously.
What a fun job to have a part-time job of driving a golf cart around downtown, taking folks where they want to go.
I think the biggest thing with the golf cart is that it is handicap accessible. So there is a large ramp that is fairly heavy that if somebody does get on in a wheelchair, you have to fold out.
I see.
And everybody knows how tight downtown is. So to find that spot where you can stop safely and fold out that ramp to allow somebody to either exit or enter the cart is a challenge. So really trying to work out all those logistics are a big deal. We just want to make sure we're being very safe with it.
Okay. Anything else that you want to mention from the meeting last night or anything at all? I know we've got the State of the City coming up in February.
We do.
And we've also got the several of the comprehensive, three more comprehensive plan meetings.
Correct. We're meeting with our steering committee this week to kind of go over some things with them, and then we'll put out information on those community meetings. We do have State of the City on February the 10th. So excited about that. One thing I did want to mention is, so one thing that was walked on the agenda was we are partnering with an organization and with the Rotary Youth Club. You know, that is our property, Rotary Youth Club, and we lease that to Rotary Youth or allow them to use it. We are going to be doing some COVID testing and vaccines there on January the 15th from 1 to 6. And it is on a first-come, first-served basis. So anybody who needs to be vaccinated...
Did you say the 15th?
15th. If you need to be vaccinated or you would like to be tested on January 15th between 1 and 6 at the Rotary Youth Club, we encourage you to visit them and to get tested or be vaccinated.
Okay, one-time event.
Mm-hmm.
January 15th, 1 until 6 p.m.
1 until 6 p.m.
COVID testing and vaccinations at the Rotary Youth Club on...
Young
Street.
Mm-hmm. It's basically at Young and 44 almost.
Okay. All right. Well, look at this. It's I'm out of time. We have really filled up the time.
Thank you
so much for all of your information. We appreciate your time and your service as always in your dream job.
Thank you, Lori.
Since you were a teenager in high school, you wanted to be the mayor, and here you are. Love it. Thank you so much.
I was crazy then and crazy now.
Dedicated. That's what we're going to say. Dedicated. Okay. And that's the truth. If you missed...